Shalom and good evening, everyone, from Connect in Galilee in Israel. And shalom, Pastor Barry from Orange County, California. How are you, my friend?
Shalom, Amir. Doing well.
Well, good to see you.
Good to see you.
Yeah, you too. We are in a very, very important Middle East and beyond. The world is getting ready for 2 months that probably will never leave this planet the same, as we are reaching culmination in so many different arenas, whether it's on the UN floor, whether it's US and Venezuela, whether it's Gaza, whether it's Europe, with all that is going on there, and many more things. So I'm telling you, buckle your seatbelts. This is going to be a bumpy ride on the political, on the diplomatic, and on the military level. So we're going to see that. Pastor Barry, would you do us the honor and start this update with a prayer?
Absolutely. And Father, we are grateful that you have told us, Lord, all that's going to be happening in the last days, and therefore nothing will come upon us by surprise. We know there'll be a time that is described as perilous. We know Israel will take center stage as far as it relates to Bible prophecy. And we thank you that you will show yourself strong on Israel's behalf, and that you will never leave us nor forsake us, even in these things that we'll discuss today. You are steadfast and present help in time of need. So would you inspire and direct this conversation today? And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So again, folks, shalom and welcome to the Middle East and Beyond. I'm Amir Tzarfati from Israel. We're in Galilee here. Pastor Barry Stagner from California. We're going to talk about the events in the Middle East, the unbelievable one, but actually events beyond the Middle East, all over the world. Pastor Barry, where do we start?
Well, a school year is upon us, Amir. Our young people went back a couple of weeks ago here, and now Israel is experiencing the same thing. And there's some rather curious developments in relation to schools opening that have been closed for some time, and maybe you can bring us up to speed on that.
Yes, I will. So first of all, school year is already here, September 1st, and normally this is an indication to the state of the situation in the country. If a country is healthy, yeah. If the country is running well, school year opens without a problem, children go to school. Well, last year, 2024, the children of northern Israel did not go to school, and the children of the surrounding place around Gaza in the southern Israel did not go to school. And also in parts of the Israeli places in Judea and Samaria, there were no schools. So this year, September 1st of 2025, was a very different beginning of a school year. It was a victorious beginning of a school year. Let me show you in different parts of Israel what we have. So first of all, on the northernmost border with Lebanon, in the northernmost city of Israel, in Kiryat Shmona, we have the year started as the president of Israel, Yitzhak Herzog, came. Kiryat Shmona is the northernmost. All the kids were there, and it was not only, you know, amazing, but it was peaceful. Benjamin Netanyahu came to the region of Nazareth, Lower Galilee, and opened the school year with all the kids. He was received with great honors, great respect, and he was given a Bible, as you can see, to read from. And then another amazing thing, in northern Samaria, this kindergarten, after 20 years of no Jewish settlement there, we're back in northern Samaria. The kids go to the kindergarten, the kids go to school. We are no longer away from the land of our forefathers. The disengagement plan is no longer in effect. And on the border with Gaza on September 1st, we began to not add barriers, but remove barriers. These cement blocks were there for many years, blocking Hamas from shooting anti-tank rockets towards Israeli houses and vehicles. And the people of the area around Gaza are back in their homes, recovering and sending their kids back to school. And again, the barriers, or protecting them from Hamas, are being removed. I don't know if you remember, but in the book of Ezekiel, in chapter 38, I think it speaks of something about no more walls and no more fences. And it seems like we're watching these things happening right now. So again, this is a token of victory, confidence, security, and resilience. And in one day, while we open our school year, later on we'll talk about an entire government of a terrorist organization was brought to burial. So it's a very monumental event. And again, I look at it as a victory, nothing less than that.
Absolutely. When the kids are in school and life is returning to normal and many parents are celebrating the fact that the home is empty now, exactly. Again, at least during the school hours, that is a monumental development. And as you said, you know, I think we have to remember that, you know, it's a mindset of safety that the Bible actually talks about. And for this type of development to happen, it's pretty incredible to see things, as you mentioned, Ed, one of the schools being closed for 20 years, and now it's reopened. And so that says a lot about what has been going on in Gaza and how it has impacted the country. And Amir, as you mentioned a moment ago, there has been a rather amazing development with the Houthis and their leaders and in Yemen. And that's a story worth mentioning. I think we talked a little about it on the Q&A on Monday, but maybe there's some details you can add to what we discussed.
As you remember, 10 days ago, Israel struck in the heart of Sana'a in Yemen. That's the strike, as you can see. These are bunker busting bombs. And they were not there to destroy an underground facility. They were there to make sure that a whole villa, a compound, a villa, a standing house will be completely gone. And in that house, which, by the way, I just received a geolocation of the house, and I intend to post it later on social media. I just received it. This was a private-owned house where all the Houthi government and military leadership was meeting. These prime minister and ministers, the six, and then there's another picture of another six. As you can see, these are the ministers that were eliminated on the spot. And the one thing that the Houthis are hiding from all of us is the fate of these three people that are the leaders from the military standpoint. We're talking about the chief of staff, the defense minister, and also another general in their military. So we're actually looking at the reason why this was a legitimate strike. Now, as you can see, the prime minister, cabinet secretary, the chief of staff of the prime minister, minister of economy, foreign affairs, agriculture, tourism, sport, labor, justice, energy, and information. And these are just the people they admitted that died. They did not admit. See, that's what they actually published in their media. But what they did not admit yet, which, by the way, would make sense why we struck that villa, is, of course, those three that I showed you earlier. And that is exactly, Pastor Barry, why the Houthis are on the run. The reports are that they're confused, they're panicked following the results of the recent strike in which a number of Syrian officials were eliminated, including the prime minister. And they say that the Houthi leadership issued urgent instructions to senior officials leave the city, evacuate northwards. In other reports that I heard from the legitimate government of Yemen, they say that the Houthis are using UN flights to escape with their family members. The Houthis, since then, tried to send as many missiles as they could. Most of them actually fell along the way in Saudi Arabia. And only one made it to our region this morning and yet was successfully intercepted. So they also tried to send UAVs, quite a few of them. Also, all of them were successfully intercepted. And a couple days ago, they held the big funeral for all that those leaders. Now, if you think that it's illegal for Israel to strike politicians, remember, that's not the government of Yemen. These are non-elected officials that were gathering with one aim, to destroy America and destroy Israel. That is what their slogan on their own flag is saying. Death to America, death to Israel, and also curse will be the Jews. So you understand, it's a terrorist organization funded by Iran, supported by Iran, aimed to destroy Israel, and it is not the elected government of Yemen. So we did not attack a legitimate group of politicians. We attacked a group of politicians that for that particular occasion may have been wearing a suit. But again, with them was all the military leadership as well. They are so embarrassed because we managed to, within 2 months, Israel managed to penetrate into their ranks, locate their meeting points, and the two-hour flight of 10 F-16s, F-15s, and F-35s, and we struck, surprised them, while their leader, Abdel Malik al-Houthi, was giving a speech. But this guy, by the way, I'm not even sure he is in Yemen. He's running all the time. His speeches are pre-recorded. And while they were watching the speech being broadcasted, they were actually struck and destroyed. Pretty significant blow to the Houthis. We promise we'll do that. And the Prime Minister of Israel said, it's not the end. It is just the beginning. We will continue. The Houthis started a war that is not for them, and they will have to pay the price for it.
Yeah, I mean, it's important that you pointed out that this is really a subversion of the actual established government of Yemen. And it's kind of a country within a country type of operation there. And there's much like in Iran, you've got the people, and then you've got this radical and extreme group. And distinct from Iran in that it is the actual government of the country that wants to see the destruction of the Jews and the death of the great Satan of the United States of America. But again, you know, my mind goes back to what Paul talked about in 2 Timothy chapter 3. And as he described the perilous times, and he included things like traitors. And, you know, when you're doing these kind of things, basically you're being a traitor to your own country, not respecting the elected government, the will of the people. And it seems to be rampant in our world today, this type of thing. And Amir, there was another high-level elimination in the Gaza Strip, or regarding Hamas at least. And maybe you can tell us a little about the Hamas spokesman and what he encountered this past week.
Yeah. The man's name was Hudhaifa Kahlout. He was the legendary spokesperson of Hamas for over a decade now. He became a symbol. He became a legend. He was hiding his face with a famous keffiyeh, as you can see. Let's put his thing on the screen so everybody can see Hudhaifa. And then he was known as Abu Ubaida. And for those people who are probably asking, what, why? Because that Abu Ubaida is actually is his name that is basically taken from a legendary companion of Muhammad in the 7th century. Mm-hmm. And so he wanted to be the one that continues the footsteps of Abu Ubaida. This man was operating a satanic operation of some psych-op team of over 1,500 people. Every unit of Hamas had not only terrorists that were shooting guns and grenades and RPGs, but they also had people who were in charge of digital war. And he was dictating what to say, what to put, what to create. He's the one behind the fake famine. He's behind the fake genocide. And as we eliminated him, he was just working on the new campaign, knowing and understanding that Israel is about to enter into Gaza City very soon. The new campaign was all about mass executions that the Jews are doing to them. Literally, they already started working on fake videos of how the IDF is literally executing people in the streets. And while that happens, the Gazans don't stop posting these videos. Videos that shows exactly the opposite. Nutella, coffee shops, look at the vegetables that they have that they squeeze right in front of you. They have tons of food, tons of vegetables. The markets are, and look at this. Look at this production. Look how they create the explosion behind the girl. It's all about production, as you can see. This is the only place in the world where... No, now watch this. It's amazing. Now, this is the only place on planet Earth that has an active war, but you need to produce videos and photos in order to tell the world that somebody is evil. Because that somebody is not evil, because we're not doing that to civilians. And the only time civilians die is because terrorists are surrounding themselves with them. That's all. But we, look, we don't make them hungry, and we don't just shoot them because they're just walking around. That's not what we do. Everybody knows that. They know that. That's why they have to send teams to create, to produce, to enact some sort of a video, show how poor the kids are, and there's explosions right behind them, and they don't have food. But quite frankly, every single photo of a hungry child was manufactured, was either AI generated, either taken from another country, or it was some genetic disease that had nothing to do with hunger. But the funny thing is, Pastor Barry, they do that because they know that the world is stupid to buy every single word they say and not to believe the truth. That's what we talked about last time. Strong delusion. They believe the lie. They reject the truth. And so they even document themselves producing the videos. That's how easy it is. They even document themselves opening cafes. Document themselves admitting that there is food. Because they know we can encourage one another with these things. We can laugh. But the world, we can always sell him the lie. And again, that's what Abu Ubaidah was in charge of. I mean, I must say, he did a good job. But look what's left from him. Take a look at this. Once he used to sit there, he is no longer there. He is gone. Abu Ubaidah is gone. Sinwar is gone. Muhammad Deif is gone. And all the leadership of Hamas is gone. There's only one person that we're still looking for, and that's the brigade commander, or the brigade commander of Hamas in Gaza. That's it. And we will get him eventually. But that's the look what we did. The IDF spokesperson shows Hamas that one by one, the domino parts are falling. And the last one was Hudhayfa, Kahlout, Abu Ubaidah. And then trust me, they don't like these videos, but he's the last and it's gone. And Pastor Barry, Hamas days are over. They know that. Everybody knows that. They're going to try hard to fight us in the diplomatic arena, in the UN, very shortly. And with some threats from Arab countries, from European countries. But then when the tanks will roll, they will start fake campaigns again. Get ready. It's going to be there. We know it's going to happen. But that's it. It's the end. Israel recruited 40,000 troops yesterday. 40,000 reserve soldiers were recruited. Everybody thought that they're too tired from coming back to a fifth or sixth round of reserve duties. No, everybody showed up. 100% showed up. I don't know if I have the video of the cars that are parked outside of their military unit, but we may not have it. But I mean, the parking lots are just jam-packed. Everybody showed up. But you know why they showed up? They showed up because they know this time it's over. It's the last phase of this war. And everybody showed up, said enough is enough. And Pastor Barry, the last thing I want to say about Abu Ubaidah. Remember, he was in charge of spreading fake news. But fake news is what killed him. Because on Saturday, early hours of the morning, Al Jazeera, NRT, Russian television, started spreading fake news about allegedly kidnapping of four IDF soldiers by the Hamas people. Now, that's the RT also. Now, the funny thing is, Hamas in Qatar thought, whoa, let's call Gaza and see if it's true. The phone call of Hamas in Qatar to Hamas in Gaza, or the messages that they exchanged, caused us to find where he is, and we eliminated him. In other words, they produced fake news, and fake news actually brought him down. And, you know, they found out. Now, as you can clearly see, Gaza, as you can see, is right there. Maybe, I guess we can talk about the plan of President Trump. I mean, last time I checked, he is alive, isn't he, Pastor Barry?
Yes, he is. And he is alive. The news of his death has been greatly exaggerated. Yeah, as
exactly.
Goes, so.
Yeah. Well, President Trump, from what we know from the Washington Post, is offering, and the day after, is offering something quite revolutionary. First of all, we are adding new distribution sites to cause everyone from Gaza City to have to move down south and still be able to get food. So more and more distribution centers are being built. Israel starts advancing into Gaza City, but the major incursion will happen in the next 48 hours. So get ready for that. But the Trump plan, the U.S. trusteeship for 10 years, is to build infrastructure, industrial areas, luxury tourist sites, AI-powered smart cities, and temporary relocation zones. For those of you who may not understand what I'm talking about, let me say this. There are three amazing things. First of all, why do you think everybody wants to kill him? I'll tell you why. Because he's the only one who understands what reality is, who can call evil and good good. But he's also the only one that is not willing to use the Palestinians as pawns in the war between Arabs and Israel. He actually cares for the Palestinians more than the Arabs themselves. So he says, Gaza is destroyed. It's an uninhabitable area, especially after we're done with this coming incursion. Look at what Gaza looks like right now. President Trump understands that. Look at this, full of tents. What used to be, I'll show you what the main street used to look like before that. The main street before that looked like that. No, go back to the main street before that. That's it. That's what this street looked like before. And take a look what it looks like now. Full of tents. The people of the northern part of Gaza Strip moved to the city of Gaza. And now all of them will have to move again. Look at them. They started moving down south. President Trump understands that the Gazans have nowhere to go back to because everything was related to terrorism above and under the ground. So he's offering, look, I know you don't like the Israelis to rule and in Gaza and maybe build his Jewish settlements. So I propose American trusteeship there. We will take over. Israel will just supply the security. We are going to build on this precious real estate, AI-powered cities, luxury hotels and resorts, industrial sites. And we, obviously, this whole thing is going to take 5 to 10 years. We are going to give the Gazans now. We're going to encourage them to leave. We're going to give them money, housing allowances, food allowances, and a chip that will be the worth of whatever they have now to either come back years later and take something, or the worth of what they have, they can actually redeem it and take it wherever they are now. So basically, President Trump says, I want the Gazans to have better life. I want the war to end, and I want the killing to stop, and I want this vicious cycle to be over. And make no mistake, I truly believe that President Trump cares more for the Palestinians than in every single Arab country around us. Everyone wants the Palestinians to stay in Gaza. No one tells Egypt to open the gates. No one is asking everyone to, they don't even open their gates. Show me one Arab country. Why? Because as long as the Gazans remain in Gaza, it can be an unstable area that will keep Israel busy and weak. That's their doctrine. But not only that, they don't like the Gazans. They don't want the Palestinians in their own country because every time they host them, they have problems and troubles. Look what the Palestinians are doing in America, in Canada, in Australia, and in Europe. They are a destructive element in every society. Look, the Jordanian king almost was toppled by the Palestinians. Civil war started in Lebanon because of the Palestinians. In Kuwait, when Saddam Hussein invaded Kuwait, the Palestinians in Kuwait sided with Saddam Hussein, and the Kuwaitis deported all of them. Every single place they were in the Arab world, they backstabbed the government that hosted them. And so the Arabs said, we don't want them, but we also don't want them to move elsewhere. We want them to stay there so they could be Israel's problem. So Israel will be busy with them. Israel will be weak. Israel will be diverted. And Israel will not be able to become a superpower. But it all backfires on them because now this war caused us, you know, the massacre caused us to not even think about a Palestinian state. And every time they're pushing for a Palestinian state, Israel is actually pushing for sovereignty in Judea and Samaria. And the last thing I will say before we move forward is this. President Trump says what he wants, but he also, if you read between the lines, says what he doesn't want. He doesn't want Hamas. He doesn't want Gazans to stay in Gaza. And he doesn't want the Palestinian Authority to run the Gazans in Gaza. All of them, as far as he's concerned, are crook and are terrorists, are bloodthirsty, because the Palestinian Authority is, there's a what we call pay for slay. They pay every terrorist that ever killed Jews. If he killed more Jews and he sits longer in jail, he gets more money. So that's why Secretary Rubio revoked all the visas of the Palestinian officials from coming to the U.S. for the U.N. Assembly, General Assembly. So all of that to say, it could have not been better for Israel when it comes to finally having something normal in Gaza. No Gazans in Gaza, no Hamas stays alive, and no Palestinian Authority running the show over there. This is amazing. Israel is going to embrace this plan. I think, by the way, for the Gazans' sake, they should embrace this plan as well if they care for their children, for their future, and if they finally love their children more than they hate the Jews.
Yeah, Mayor, you mentioned real estate, and that's some prime property there. Major coastline on the Mediterranean. That's some of the most desirable real estate in the world to live on the Mediterranean, and yet turn this strip into a bomb and rocket making factory, destroying much of the infrastructure that Israel had left behind, the greenhouses and the other things that they turned into bomb making factories. So hopefully this isn't a repeat of that oft repeated phrase, the Palestinians never miss an opportunity to miss an opportunity, but hopefully the proverbial cooler heads will prevail and they'll see the opportunity through this plan that Trump has presented.
But just so you know, that Trump calls it the Great Trust, and the Great stands G-R-E-A-T. It stands for Gaza Reconstruction, Economic Acceleration, and Transformation. And that's, he loves the big, big, beautiful bill. He loves the acronyms. Yeah, okay, so this one is going to be the Great Trust. And we're going to hear a lot about that one in the future.
It's going to be huge.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, Trumpism. Yeah, every week we solicit your help in making sure the word gets out. And again, I remind you the importance of subscribing to both of our channels, as well as commenting, liking, and sharing, because this is important information that most of the world is completely unaware of. And the history, I think, as Amir just pointed out, of the Palestinians and the fact that they being Arabs, are not even welcome in other Arab countries. And that's largely because they're indoctrinated from their youth to hate the Jews and do anything to kill them and eliminate the Zionists, so to speak, and all who support them. So this needs to, I think, on the grand scheme of things on YouTube and elsewhere, to be raised up to a place where others can see it. And that happens by you subscribing, liking, commenting, and sharing. And Amir, there's, you know, sad element going on here in the United States. I have to say it's nothing new. Our universities have become indoctrination centers of radical extremists and leftists and progressives. And this is manifesting itself in this latest generation known as Gen Z. And you pair some of the things we've talked about regarding Gen Z, that 75% of them have said that they'd be willing to have a romantic relationship with some form of artificial intelligence. And now you've got a recent poll that shows 60% of Gen Z supports Hamas, murderers, terrorists, over the peaceful people of Israel.
Yeah, the Harris poll showed from a few days ago showed that there is steady support in Israel in this, you know, war among, you know, overall the American people. But when they analyzed the results in the brackets of age groups, the astonishing result showed us that the age bracket of 18 to 24, this is the only place where there was a majority for Hamas. I mean, 60% of aged 18 to 24 are actually Hamas supporters. And that's the age of college. That's the age where they're being indoctrinated in your horrible university. So that's the poll, by the way. And you can clearly see in the lowest bracket on the left side where 60% are for Hamas in that age group of 18 to 24. Again, 24. The vast majority are for Israel, but when it comes to that age group now, that's alarming because think about it. That's the future of America. That's the future of society in that country. But don't be surprised. It all goes back to the indoctrination that they're going through in school and the fact that they're not being taught how to think, but they're parroting the doctrines they are being given by their own lunatic, progressive, liberal, satanic, demon-possessed professors. And it's very interesting because there is an unholy trinity or unholy matrimony, I call it, of three fringes: Nazis that are far right, communists that are far left, and the Islamics that are a group by itself. And every one of them is standing by the Palestinians and by Hamas because every one of them hates the Jews for its own reason. For the Islamist, it's for religious purpose. For the Nazis, is their ideology. The ideology that the Jews are not even humans. That they will always dehumanize the Jews. They will always dehumanize the Jews. They always look like rats. They always look like mice. They always look like demons. They always big nose. They love money. They love this. They're pedophiles. They're dirty. They're this. They're that. That's what they will always spread. And for the communists, there is no God, remember. And if there is no God, there can't be God-chosen people. There can't be God-given land. And so if the Jews are back in the land, they must be colonizers because there's no God that gave it back to them. So this one says there is no God. This one says the Jews are inherently dirty and unhuman. And this one says because they are the enemy of Islam, they have no right to exist. And all three, when they merge, the only thing that they agree on is support of Gaza and support of Hamas and the hatred of the Jewish people. The only thing, because if you really think about it, the woke left embraces LGBTQ. The Nazis exterminated them. The jihadist hangs them or throw them off the roof. Okay? So when you look at all these three, the jihadists believe in a God. The communists say there is no God. The Nazis says there is a God, but we are the Aryans. We are the chosen. We are the white supremacy, all of that. So you can clearly see that literally the only thing they agree on, the only thing that brings them together, is the hatreds for the Jewish people, and which leads them to hate Israel, which leads them to stand behind anyone that is suffering from the Jews. And that's what leads people such as Greta Thunberg to once again get on a boat, and together with the, I don't know, altogether they're talking about almost 70 different vessels that are making their way to Israel right now, or to Gaza right now, from four different directions. And they think that this time it'll work. I mean, these are diesel engine boats, so much for caring for environment, yes? And she belongs to that demon-possessed, brainwashed generation that will always stand on the side that either embraces Islamists, embraces Nazis, or embraces communists. Because again, you remember, for the liberal left, they cannot accept the fact that October 7th happened. By the way, when Greta's first round arrived in Israel, we show them the October 7th video, and they refused to watch it. They didn't want to watch it. Why? Because if you watch it, you understand that you're siding with animals, you're siding with demons. Now, Pastor Barry, Behold Israel is committed to make a change in this bracket of age group, bracket of 18 to 24. And thanks to people that give, we are hosting every year a young adults tour in that age group. We bring them to Israel, we show them the land, we teach them the Bible, we show them the truth, and then we send them back home. That's the latest we had, the group, and we here in Connect also, I gave them a whole teaching on Israel and the right of Israel to exist and the history. I gave them books, I signed the books for them. And that was, by the way, they 2 days after they arrived, the war with Iran started, and we had to evacuate them through Jordan. But what I want you to know, that everybody that is watching this can make a change. You can go to our website. We can show you, by the way, how to do it. Just click Behold Israel, go to our website, click on that link, go to our website, and on the donate button, you can actually find a button that will show you, highlight to you, once you decide how you highlight the specific need for the young adults. And we also do that for pastors as well, to teach them so they can go back to their congregations and teach them correctly. So that's if you feel that God is telling you to help us to fix that broken generation, we invite you to go to our website and make a difference there. Again, 60% siding with Hamas. It's heartbreaking. And I believe none of them know the truth. And I believe that many of them grew up in Christian homes, maybe even went to church. And university and college destroy them. And their parents paid nearly $100,000 to get kids without faith, without moral ground, and without understanding of what the world is all about, siding with the wrong people, chanting for the wrong people, and eventually on the way and on the path to destruction. So help us to help them. It might be your grandchild, maybe your children, maybe whoever, people you know, send them to a young adults tour. Go to beholdisrael.org, as you can see right now, and make a difference. By the way, this is also the website where you can see where I'm teaching, and you can sign up for the events. One of the events we want to encourage you to come to, Pastor Barry and myself will be teaching there alongside with Pastor Mark Hitchcock, is in Lee Summit in Kansas City in Missouri. And go to our website to Teaching Around the World. These two events are still wide open. We have a big church there, so you can still find spots on that Awaiting His Return conference. Literally 30 days from now. Am I right? Or maybe, am I right? What is it?
Yep. No.
30 days from now.
No, just over a month. Yeah.
There you go. Go ahead and sign up through our website. Yes, Pastor Barry.
Yeah, Mayor, what you just shared is so important about the young adults And I couldn't help but think of the statesman Edmund Burke, who coined that oft-used phrase, the only thing necessary for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing. And this is the way we combat directly what's being force-fed into our kids, and that is to give them the truth and put them in the land that God has given to his chosen people, the Jews, and teach them the truth and speak it in love and let them go home and combat what is happening on their own campuses.
Yep.
Amir, you know, Iraq and Iran continue to make the news as well. The Iranians, we know why. But Iraq is suddenly starting to rise in news stories once again, and another round of conflict seems to be imminent there. So what's going on there in that other country in the Middle East?
Yeah. So first of all, the Iranians know Israel is going to strike. They already started moving some cooling devices from their nuclear sites and moving them to secure places because these devices are so expensive and they don't want them to be destroyed. But regarding Iraq and Iraqi militias, many people are asking, so how come they are not joining like the Houthis and others? There's a whole host of reasons why they choose to kind of try to stay out of the Israel-Iran wars, although they're funded and supported by Iran. But they knew that it's a lost case. They knew that there was a lot of American soldiers on Iraqi soil. Israel decided to wait with the Iraqi thing. And as you can clearly see on the screen, there is a whole host of reasons. Many of them are internal reasons for their own sake, political reasons, security reasons. So they opted out of the Iran-Israeli war. But I will tell you something. A lot of people don't know, but while much of the world talks about Gaza and talks about Lebanon and Iran and Yemen, Judea and Samaria, Syria, Iraq, we have to remember, over 300 rockets and drones were launched from Iraq into Israel during this war. And one of them hit the Golan Heights in October of 2024 and killed two Israeli soldiers. And I want you to know that every person that is in charge and behind the killing of our people, whether civilians or soldiers, will have to pay the price. And they know that. And that's why someone described that the feeling right now, the atmosphere in Baghdad right now, is actually like the eve of the Gulf War. It's like, we know we're going to be attacked. We know it's talked about. We know it's around the corner. We just don't know the hour it's going to happen. Netanyahu hinted more than once that we will take care of every element of the axis of evil, of the Iranian axis. In Iraq, the Iraqi militias, the Qatayb Hezbollah, and the Hashd al-Shaabi, talking about 200,000 people that are the militias that are funded by Iran. Originally, it was founded, and we said that last week, by Ayatollah Sistani. They were funded and founded in order to fight ISIS, but ever since, Iran penetrated into the Iraqi realm and used them also to prepare for war against Israel. Now, they are watching what we did to Hezbollah, to Hamas, to the militias in Syria, to the Yemenites, the Houthis. They know that we're coming. We know that we're coming. Everyone knows that we're coming. And it's just a matter of time. And I'm telling you, Pastor Barry, within those next 60 days, when I told you that this world is going to change, I do believe that a strike in Iraq will be part of it. So I think I was right about Yemen last time, wasn't I?
Yes, you were. It is interesting, Amir. I don't think people realize that the second most mentioned place in the Bible behind Israel is Iraq, under the names Babylonia, Mesopotamia. It's peppered throughout Scripture. Obviously, Babylon was there. And so it makes perfect sense that they would be within that last day scenario. And Amir, we're coming pretty short on time. So I want to jump ahead a little bit. And I think there's two important stories that we can close with that relate to not only the days in which we live, but to Bible prophecy as well. And the next story I think that's worth mentioning is that there is a what's called a force field that's redefining warfare. And it's in relation to electromagnetic weapons that crush drones. And one of the new tactics that's being experienced in modern warfare is what's called drone swarms. Ukraine has been employing that with Russia. And this electromagnetic pulse, which, you know, is a more concentrated effort than like a high altitude detonation of a nuclear bomb, which creates an EMP that disables basically anything electronic within 100 to 150 miles, depending on the elevation of the detonation. But here you've got, I think, just a reminder that, you know, warfare has changed. Now we've gone from a lot of drone, you know, the old handheld weapons, then we went into, you know, controlling the skies being the most important aspect of warfare. And now you've got cyber warfare and drone warfare. And now I think what we're going to see at some point in time is somebody's going to develop some type of weapon that gives them dominance over the whole of the world. And these drones that are now the rage in all the military, this group through this test, a company called Epirus, has now disabled the drone swarm with this electromagnetic pulse, basically disabling them. And, you know, in this age of warfare, modern warfare, that's a pretty significant advantage to be able to disable, you know, the unmanned vehicles of your adversary. And it just reminds us that, you know, we're moving toward a time where somebody's going to raise up. And, you know, one of the things we're told about the rise up, rather, one of the things we're told about the Antichrist, or the first beast of Revelation chapter 13, is that he's going to worship the God of fortresses. In other words, he will focus on military power as the reason, or the capability rather, that he'll develop for dominating the world. And I think this is a rather curious story, especially in light of the fact that many countries are advancing their development of drones. And here you've got a company that can just wipe them out in literally a matter of seconds.
Allow me to say that although you mentioned that it's in Ukraine, it's not only in the Ukraine. But I don't want to elaborate on that one right now.
Yeah.
I told you I have to kill you. Yeah.
Well, I'm glad I'm here in Orange County.
Yeah, there you go.
But, you know, again, just reminding ourselves of the role of technology. And, you know, so many comments have been made, you know, here about, you know, in the United States, there have been a couple of test runs that have taken down power grids. And we live in a different age than any of those prior to us. And again, you know, the age of mechanized warfare changed things. And now we've got cyber warfare where, you know, if you disable, you know, the computer systems of any given country or region of any given country, you basically taken it over and sent people back into the dark ages, so to speak, as far as technology goes. And you're left defenseless, really. And so it's an interesting development that this Epirus tested their latest electromagnetic weapon, Leonidas, against a swarm of 49 quadcopters and neutralized them in seconds at a Camp Atterbury in Indiana, according to Axios. So again, you know, you just don't know what's out there on the horizon. And Amir, I think, again, you know, looking at some of the language that we've seen in Ezekiel and elsewhere, where there seems to be some type of event that takes place that sends things back into the, you know, the old cavalry type era where people are fighting battles on horseback, hand-to-hand combat, that sort of thing.
Yeah, you know, I think if you mention Ezekiel, I just want to remind everyone that in just a month from now, I'm going to release a very important book that I really hope you will put your hand on and pre-order it, actually, in order to get the major retailers have it on their bookshelf. So why don't you watch this short trailer for this book and maybe, again, not only get it, but make sure someone else is also getting it as well. Help us to get to our goal number in order to get it to the bookshelves of those retailers. Let's watch it. It's just a very short one.
With Iran launching hundreds of missiles at Israel and Russia and Turkey growing more hostile towards the Jewish state day by day, the lines between today's news and the ancient prophecy of Ezekiel 38 are blurring before our eyes. But this is just the dress rehearsal. What we are witnessing is a shadow of a much larger conflict. Are you ready for the main event? For years, I have taught on these prophecies. Now, I've put them all into my new book, Exploring Ezekiel, where I unpack what's unfolding as God's prophetic blueprint for our times. In the book, we will examine how God desired to reveal himself to mankind using his chosen instrument, the Jewish people. This intricate plan has unfolded over history, and we can now see it reaching its culmination, beginning with the alliance that is forming against Israel. Russia, the Prince of Rosh, Persia, which is modern-day Iran, and Togarma, today's Turkey. With so many nations aligning with the enemy's lies, how can Israel survive the coming megastorm? Here is how. Remember Ezekiel's vision of the dry bones? God promised to bring the scattered people of Israel back to their land and then to breathe new life into them. He has kept that promise, and the God who brings a nation back from the dead is not about to let that nation be destroyed. The world is more afraid and confused than ever before. Our news cycle is dominated by wars and rumors of wars. But our God is not the author of confusion. He is using the prophetic fulfillment of his word to Israel to remind us that he is sovereign. The enemy wants to use the date of October 7th as a permanent stain of pain and shame on the Jewish people. I chose to publish Exploring Ezekiel that same date, October 7th, 2025, as a reminder that the enemy can never stop God's prophetic plans. The Lord has given us his prophetic calendar, and in Exploring Ezekiel, we will unpack it in ways you haven't experienced before. Pre-order Exploring Ezekiel today. Strong pre-orders get this prophetic roadmap into bookstores and into the hands of those who need it most.
There you go. Do we have another topic to cover?
Yeah, I think, Amir, we need to cover this last story because, again, it has a potential prophetic significance. And this is the beekeepers here in the United States are facing a catastrophe with a record 55.6% colony losses nationwide. Now, you know, I think it's worth mentioning that the greatest killer in the history of humankind within the animal kingdom, that is, and really, I think you could say probably the greatest killer even in modern warfare or warfare historically, is the flea. And it's killed more people through the plagues that it spread than any other element in human history. And here you've got something I think that points to the fact that during the tribulation under the rider, the four horsemen of the apocalypse, there's going to be a global famine that causes food prices to go up to where it's going to take a whole day's pay to buy one meal for one person during the tribulation. And beekeepers across the United States who have managed honeybee colonies between April of 2024 and 2025, 60% of the hives in Texas have been lost, and nationwide, 55.6% of colonies have died. And the interesting part about this, and why I mentioned the flea thing, is because there are parasitic mites that basically have learned how to resist pesticides, are weakening the bee colonies and causing them to collapse. And when you have the bee population declining, you've got pollination declining. And when you've got pollination declining, you've got food supplies declining. And, you know, who knows what the elements are going to be that bring about this great famine during the tribulation. Okay. But many have talked about the fact that the bee population is pivotal to the food supply of the world. And here you've got, just in the span of a year, a dramatic decrease in the number of pollinating bees here in the United States, which I don't think people realize how catastrophic this would be to the world if you lost the bee population.
The people are too busy believing fake famine stories and not looking into the real danger
that
is all around the world. Pastor Barry, wow, that was awesome. Thank you. Very interesting, very eye-opening. Let's finish with the Aharonic blessing. As always, I'll do it in Hebrew, you'll do it in English, and we will say goodbye to our beloved audience. And we ask you, by the way, to press the share button so many people will watch this super important update and comment, share, subscribe, and like. Shalom.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance toward you and give you his peace. In Yeshua's name, we pray this blessing.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Guys, thank you very much. God bless you and shalom from Galilee, Israel, and from Orange County, Southern California. Until next week. See you. Shalom and goodbye. Shalom, Pastor Barry.
Shalom.